your work life, your relationships, your money, your health, the meaning of life. Welcome to How to Do Life with Marty Nemko.
Everybody likes to get a leg up, a step ahead, be ahead of the curve, choose your metaphor, in terms of what the future is going to bring, maybe especially regarding work. Amid the COVID economic shutdown, there have been a lot of lost jobs, a lot of jobs that are more precarious, and so it may be more important than ever to try to get a little bit of an edge in the world of work. I've been privileged over the past number of years to have for Time Magazine to have asked me to write my predictions for the year related to work, and more recently Psychology Today has asked me to do that. And I've just crafted what I think are my best predictions for 2021 and beyond regarding the world of work. I think, to be really honest, a little modesty here, I think the accuracy of my previous predictions have been based on the fact that I recognize that it's more fun and exciting and sexy and dramatic to propose radical new ideas, but they too often turn out to be untrue. I've made a judgment that my best shot at accuracy is to be less bold and simply identify trends that are likely to continue. And that's what I'm going to do here. So, first, and again, these are not going to be revolutionary, but I think they're also more likely to be valid and therefore actionable with less risk than if I had been more adventurous in my predictions. And the first is that there'll be ever more work that's assisted, not replaced by, assisted by artificial intelligence. The robots aren't coming so fast, but artificial intelligence assisted jobs are. There's been a lot of progress in artificial intelligence. It's been all dwarfed by all the COVID stuff, but there's been progress in artificial intelligence and its subset, which is machine learning. By the way, machine learning means that, in short, it means that computers are teaching themselves based on their mistakes and their correct answers and continuing to improve their algorithm. Anyway, there have been big improvements in that, and they will improve our lives and create jobs. I'll give just a few examples. I'll give a COVID example first. We see that telemedicine is becoming ever more pervasive. It should have been a decade ago, but COVID is accelerating the move to telemedicine. It's more convenient, it's cheaper, and there's so much that can be done remotely, even remote tests that can be sent electronically to the over the internet to the doctor or the nurse practitioner or whatever. That, and with the ease of Zoom, Skype, FaceTime, etc., artificial intelligence, which can help assist in diagnosis and recommend treatments, but not make the definitive diagnosis, because still good doctors, good health practitioners, look at the subjective, skin tone, the kitsura, pale, breathing, gait, all kinds of things. But I do believe that AI-assisted telemedicine will grow. I think gene editing will grow, as we see that, of course, environment matters, but we're ever more knowledgeable that genes represent a predisposition to diseases, toward various attributes in a human being. It's like a Volkswagen in a race against a Porsche. The engine is the genes, and no matter how much you tune them up, that VW is unlikely to be able to beat the Porsche. So understanding the ever more important role in genes in everything from diseases to also characteristics, even like impulse control, means that we're going to be looking to gene editing ever more to try to make sure that children are born without a genetic one or two strikes against them. Also, artificial intelligence is going to be used as an assist, again, to people maybe some of this is even going to be self-contained. If we're always trying to come up with the best match for a job seeker and an employer, two romantic partners, or these days in the era of polyamory, maybe three, matching even mentors and proteges. I think we're still fairly crude in terms of how we do the matching. I look at the, I've helped a number of my clients put the, develop profiles for Match.com and Coffee Meets Bagel and the like. And it's still pretty crude, but I believe that moving forward, we're going to ever see more artificial intelligence develop paradigms for matching people for romantic partners. So my point is that there may well be an increase in jobs in anything related to assisted artificial intelligence assisting. Next is greening. It's widely predicted that the Democrats are going to win in the fall, maybe really win big. And that's going to mean we're going to see quite an increase in Green New Deal spending. That's going to include the obvious, of course, things like solar energy and other forms of alternative energy. But it may also result in an increase in the, you know, in nuclear energy, which is less popular, but is widely agreed even among many environmentalists that needs to be a part of the mix. What else? Of course, subjective, you know, even less obvious perhaps, maybe not. The Green New Deal is going to create more jobs in everything related to mass transit, and even less obvious than that, in regulation, people who are inspectors, creating regulations, monitoring regulations, that kind of thing. Another trend that I see likely to continue to accelerate is secular spiritualism. The Pew Center for the Study of Religion found that, except for Islam, which is very rapidly growing in this country and worldwide, the fastest growing religion is no religion. And it may just be, this is just a guess, and I could be wrong, that Eastern spirituality, which is manifested heavily as by meditation and yoga, obviously it's a big deal in this country, it just might join the ranks of fads that have faded, you know, like the cigar stores of the 1980s, they'll gulp and smoke. But it's a solid bet, certainly, that humankind is going to always seek, not everybody, but lots of people, will seek something beyond the quotidian, beyond the daily routine of work and recreation and play and etc. And I think ever more people are going to find that kind of spiritualism, that something greater than the everyday, in what I call secular spiritualism. And that's going to be, one form of that's going to be charity, whether it's how they spend their time at work or after work, or in how they donate their money. For example, I think there's going to be an increase in what's called socially responsible investing and impact investing. It's a little bit of a misnomer to call impact investing only that which helps the poor, because ideally investing in even Apple, which is working on the next iPhone, it would have impact as well on humankind. Anyway, I also think that more people, and this is a related concept, are going to start businesses that are aimed at the poor. For example, and this is iconic, making of microloans. We all remember the famous Muhammad Yunus, who started the microloans, giving very small loans to very poor people to help them start businesses. There's the quintessential example of impact investing. So the next area a trend that I predict will continue is, in terms of the world of work, is the focus on the basics. The economy's collapse because of COVID is unfortunately likely going to be with us for a good while. So you might want to consider working for a company that provides the basics, basic food, basic housing, basic transportation, and so on. And maybe a less obvious example, I should give you a little more examples of that. So basic food could be, you know, working for companies that, you know, farms that create, or companies that distribute or sell fresh fruits and vegetables, or basic housing, not the fancy 2,000 and 3,000 square foot suburban houses, but more likely in our slowed economy, very small apartments, even micro housing, transportation instead of the typical Toyota Camry, you know, focusing on very small vehicles that are electric vehicles. And now maybe a less obvious example of the basics would be to, there might be, you have to remember obviously that ever more people, whether it's be by choice or because they're forced to, are going to be working from home. So there may be consulting opportunities in ergonomic consulting, you know, say helping, you know, make sure you've got the right chair at the right height, the right back setting, where the keyboard is going to be, the right mouse, location of the desk, the monitor, all that stuff. There might be opportunities in consulting in wireless networking. You know, people don't want to be chained to their desk all the time. They always talk about how sitting is the new smoking, need to get up. So figuring out ways to enable people to do their work while moving around but still connected other than their phone, there may be consulting opportunities there. And also, obviously, we're spending a lot more time on Zoom, FaceTime, Skype. And so your reputation is going to depend in part on how well you do in video conference settings. And there is an art to that. And so there may be an opportunity to do consulting to people who are working at home, participating in a lot of video conferencing sessions, and want to do a better job of coming off well. You know, everything from the lighting in the room to how you talk, to how you look at different people, to what you say. Okay, another trend that I see likely to continue is that jobs are going to move more, ever more, they already are, but moving more from the private sector to the federal government sector. There are, as I said, it's likely there'll be big wins for the Democrats in November, and that suggests that there will be additional taxation and regulating of companies, which atop the economic shutdown because of COVID is going to reduce their hiring in the private sector. And conversely, the federal government will likely grow. Democrats, especially left-leaning ones, believe in bigger government and in economic policies that are not just Keynesian, but what are called modern monetary policies, which encourage lots of debt. And I'll leave to another day, partly because I'm not expert enough to comment, but I think it's pretty likely. And so because the government will likely increase its size, even if at the risk of ever more debt, federal government jobs are going to grow. And a plus for them is that they do tend, compared to the private sector, to be more likely to be full-time, fully benefited, and offer maximum job security. Next trend that I see accelerating is work that's serving the poor. Today's racial roiling, forgive the alliterativeness of that, but that's my soundbite way of describing it without being political either way. Today's racial roiling, atop of acceleratingly powerful messages from society's mind molders, that is the schools, colleges, and media, that suggests that ever more resources are going to be allocated to the poor. I mean, fiscal resources, human effort, etc. And that is another argument for government jobs, because the government tends to focus on the poor, as well as an argument for working in a well-funded nonprofit. And I say well-funded because there have always been many, many nonprofits that start up and small, but the cost of startup and marketing and infrastructure and everything ends up being so high that they either go out of business or they end up not doing that much good because they're spending so much effort on creating the startup and in fundraising. Also, you know, if you're an entrepreneurial type and you'd like to serve the poor, you might walk your talk by starting a business that hires low-income people. I know of a few that did. To be honest, I have no idea how successful they were, but I know they were. I remember a guy who was going to start a business selling used bikes and hiring low-income people to do the fix-it work and clean-up work and other things, sales. So if you're somebody who would like to serve the poor, you might walk your talk by starting a business that hires low-income people, or gives a percentage of your profits to nonprofit organizations. You are listening to How to Do Life. I'm Marty Nemko. I'm offering my predicted trends for related to work in the year 2021 and beyond. If you're listening to this on a podcast, of course, if you're watching me on YouTube, I thank you for doing that. And encourage you, if you like this, to subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'll put all my radio shows on this YouTube channel, as well as my reading aloud a number of my Psychology Today articles. And if I am a career counselor, and if you choose to want to work with me privately, you can email me, tell me your situation. I'll either offer a little free advice, or if I feel like I can be of help, offer you an appointment slot. You can email me at mnemko, that's M-N-E-M-K-O at comcast.net. Okay, next trend that I see being very likely to accelerate in 2021 and beyond related to work is the conversion of jobs to gigs. It's irresistible. Imagine you ran a small candy store, and option A is you're going to keep paying your workers 52 weeks a year with full benefits and extra rights against termination, whether or not that person's skill set is ideal for all 52 weeks. Option B, you hire on a just-in-time basis. Maybe for a little while you need somebody to re-merchandise the store, to do buying, to make the place look better, or do more sales, or do more accounting in your little business. You know, so it seems obvious that most business, or most is too strong, that many businesses are going to choose to hire more people, not everybody, but on a just-in-time basis. And many jobs that previously were full-time, relatively permanent positions, fully benefited, are going to be converted to short-term temp gigs. So it's pretty important for you to keep growing your marketable skills, as well as the depth and the extent of your network. You know, everybody can network differently. If you're not a schmoozer, fine. Get active in your online forums. Go to meetups. Write articles in your professional journal or professional website or whatever. That can be a form of networking. The next trend I see is the automating of white-collar jobs that are what I call fact-centered rather than judgment-centered. I mean, it's old news that repetitive jobs are ever more subject to automation and offshoring, but advances in artificial intelligence are likely going to eliminate a fair number of white-collar jobs. For example, a low to mid-level accountant, where it's pretty mechanical what they do, and legal research work. For example, a lot of the research on a given case requires looking through mountains of statutes and case law to find relevant keywords. And well, that, you know, and that could produce a mountain in itself, and there is artificial intelligence programs which distills that into what's most likely relevant to your particular situation or the employer's particular situation. So takeaway is that you might want to pursue jobs in which subjective judgment is important. For example, managing people or providing physical health services, being a doctor, a nurse, a nurse practitioner, physical therapist, physical therapy assistant, or mental health services, whether it's a drug counselor or a cognitive behavioral therapist for garden variety anxiety, whatever. The next mega trend I see is insecurity. Whether we're preparing for or responding to a pathogen, whether it's naturally occurring like COVID or a bioweapon, we've often heard about bioweapons such as smallpox vaccine and anthrax being used as a bioweapon, just dispersed through the air, in trains, in planes, and just through the air. And that's the kind of thing that keeps I spoke to someone who's a former CIA agent who says this keeps him up at night because a lone wolf can do this. Anyway, so in any case, the COVID pandemic is likely going to cause increases in hiring, not just of researchers and public health advisors, but across the entire continuum of employees. A lot of people don't remember that every company, even a biotech company, a big pharma company, has lots of people who are not biopharma people, for everybody from clerks to accountants, and of course at the senior level CEOs, although of course they are going to have generally have a science as well as a business background. Although John Sculley, who was the head of Apple, was previously the head of Pepsi-Cola, and he was far from a techie. So, but anyway, I digress. Anyway, society has a short memory, so it tends to respond to the terrorism du jour. But we really can, as we're moving forward, if I'm going to do any kind of valid predicting, we can't ignore terrorism's other forms, which are likely to rear their ugly heads, forgive the cliche. There's a traditional bombing and shooting type terrorism that's on trains. I remember, for example, the London Underground had four bombings on it. And of course, terrorism that have to do with airplanes was, of course, 9/11. I've also recently learned that on the very streets of Israel, almost 200 Israelis have been killed by lone wolf terrorists in just the past year. Particularly sad to me, even though I'm an atheist, is terrorism against worshippers. For example, I recall last year there was the burning of Paris's incomparable Notre Dame Cathedral. And they see the thing, it's likely that the destruction of part of the cathedral in Nantes, I hope I'm pronouncing that properly, in France, is terrorism. And of course, there is the massacring recently of 11 people who were in prayer at Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue. And there also are threats that have to date been largely thwarted. For example, threats that have been targeting our food and water supply. It wouldn't be too hard. There's so many reservoirs, especially not in major cities, but you know, I could see a terrorist throwing a dart at the country, at the U.S., and ending up in, you know, rural Wyoming or something, or Kansas, you know, Kansas City suburb, and then, you know, in the middle of the night, poisoning it with some waterborne bacillus or virus. Anyway, in total, it seems a reasonable certainty that the job market for people who are involved in preventing terrorism and responding to it is likely to be robust, alas. And the final trend I want to talk about is online education. Education has long been ripe for reinvention. I keep recalling the study that found that despite $22 trillion in spending on compensatory education to try to close the achievement gap is essentially as wide as ever. And also probably you've heard ad nauseum, the U.S. scores near the bottom among industrialized nations in achievement that called the PISA exams. It's an international comparison. It's true of writing and reading and math, and always every year for the last number of years, number one has been China, and we have been near the bottom, somewhere near Italy, if I recall. But anyway, one of COVID's silver linings is that it has revealed that the you know, online education, which is so convenient for people who are just have childcare issues, who don't want to face the horrible traffic, who don't want to park, who may be disabled or in prison. Unfortunately, online and certainly now amid COVID, where everybody's got to, you know, is not going to classrooms, it's unfortunately that online education has not lived up to its promise. So there is a huge need for a next generation of online education, what I call ultra courses, which are taught quite interactively by world-class instructors. Once you find two or three great instructors in, say, a difficult subject like algebra, rather than the whole nation or world of algebra teachers, some of whom are great, but many of whom are not so great or worse, but doing that online and using really rich videos and simulations and interactivity, you know, that has not been done too often. The online courses are merely, you know, pretty darn similar to what a standard course would be. You know, I think that there is going to be huge need for people to develop, not so much to implement, but to develop this, what I'll call online education 2.0. In fact, in the 1968 movie, The Graduate, It was a young guy, I think his name was Benjamin Braddock. He was looking for career advice, maybe he was given it unwanted. But anyway, some guy came up to him and whispered to him the word, where the word that encapsulated what he thought the future was going to be, and that was plastics. Well, if I were to offer somebody a soundbite of advice today, of course, it would depend on that person's strengths and weaknesses and interests, but let's say I didn't know the person, let's say it was a movie and I'm whispering to some stranger at a party, what I would whisper would be, online education developer. In any event, those are what I think are the mega trends that are going to affect work in 20 and 21 and beyond. I'll just briefly summarize them again. One is artificial intelligence assisted work, greening, everything related to the Green New Deal, secular spiritualism, that is going to be manifested in giving money and time more to the poor, the basics, because of COVID, we'll probably have to be providing just folk, people are going to be spending on the basics, less on luxury, and that's everything from smaller housing to not luxury items to basic food, basic, etc. Another trend is that I think more jobs will move from the private sector to the federal government sector. Remember, the federal government, not like the local governments, can always print more money or do things with like quantitative easing, a nice soothing term, but it still means that likely all of our dollars are worth less. But I think there will be an increase, especially if the Democrats win in the fall, which I believe and most of the experts predict. There will be a move to increase the number of jobs in the federal government sector. Now the trend serving the poor, I think that today's racial roiling atop the acceleratingly powerful messages from society's mind molders, the schools, colleges, and media, are going to mean that ever more of us are going to want to allocate our time to the poor. The next trend is the trend from jobs to gigs. Full-time benefited jobs are just untenable for many employers because it's just not realistic that they're going to need the same person with the same skills in 52 weeks a year. There'll be that true of some individuals, but there'll many, many people, many positions would be wiser served on a just-in-time basis where exactly the skill required is needed. There'll be an increased automation of white-collar jobs that are fact-centered rather than judgment-centered. There'll be, unfortunately, an increase in security jobs, whether it's biosecurity, bioweapon security, natural pathogens like COVID, and traditional kinds of terrorism. And finally, as I've been stressing, I think there'll be a tremendous need for excellence in next generation online education developers who can really be masters at interactivity, gamification, and so on. It is true that he or she who lives by the crystal ball eats broken glass, but maybe these not so radical predictions may help you eat something a little better than broken glass. In any event, this is Marty Nemko reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.
For comments on the show or to consult with Marty Nemko, his email address is mnemko@comcast.net. How to Do Life is produced by Marty Nemko. Post-production, Mel Baker. Music from the Blue Dot Sessions.